Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider.
Stand and sing it tonight.
Oh, how great thou art. Oh, how great thou art. Oh, then sings my soul, oh, my Savior God, to thee. Oh, how shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Oh, then I shall bow in humble adoration. Thank you. that God His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die. Oh, I scarce can take it in that
bless you richly. Good to be in church again this evening. And got several things that we want to let you know about tonight. First of all, I just wanted to go ahead and announce, and we'll remind you a few more times between now and then, but there will be no youth Bible study in December because the way it falls between the holidays there, we decided to omit that. And then also wanted to announce Brother Levi and Sister Rachel Collins have a new love gift, and is actually born on November the 11th, but I've been waiting for him to get back with me with the size and weight and everything, and then we were out of town. So Evelyn Joy Collins was born on November the 11th at 9:34 p.m., was 20 and a half inches long, 9 pounds and 1.2 ounces, so I want to praise the Lord for bringing that love gift into their home. And then also, I believe we got a family from Brother Ray Erickson's church with us tonight, so good to have you all with us. And Brother Yarborough, his sister's back surgery went well, so I want to praise the Lord for that. And then I want to just ask that you'd please remember Brother Wade Byerly and his brother together in prayer. The hospice nurse called and told them they need to come if they want to see their mother before she passes. So we want to remember them in prayer. We know the Lord's more than able to come on the scene and change that situation. But if it is her time, we just want the Lord to allow her to go peacefully and to comfort them. And then also, I don't know, some of you may have heard, but Brother Matt and Sister Melissa Savare had a baby, Silas, that was born a few days ago, and I went by on Monday to pray for the little baby. He had several major complications, and he passed away Monday evening, and we want to remember the family in prayer during this time as well. And then how many of you have an unspoken prayer request that you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Terry, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests?
If you don't know it,
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay, though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim, it's higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on Him. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
11 in your hymn book. Thankful that we're going to a place where we'll always be happy. Everybody knows somebody they work with or from a job or somewhere that you'd like to sing this song to. Some people that need to learn how to be happy. We have something inside that makes us happy, even on these cold evenings. It's good to be here. Let's stand and sing this.
There's a happy land of promise over in that great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon their glory share, and where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody will be happy. They will be happy over there. Oh, we will shout, we'll sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. And all the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody will be happy there.
Why don't you turn and greet your neighbor this evening?
Amen. Are you happy tonight? Amen. Some of you need to remind your face that you're happy. Amen. Sometimes some of you walk into church look like you're walking into a root canal. My, we got something to be happy about. Something to be rejoicing about. My, you know, we find when it comes to sports and things like that, if you could be right on the 50-yard line, you'd walk down those bleachers, Brother Jimmy, out there onto the ground with the biggest smile on your face, pointing at your buddies, and look at what kind of seat I got. But at church, you know, it seems like it fills up in the back faster than the front. At a ball game, you know, you pay extra money. If you could have four seats to see your favorite basketball team, you'd walk in so happy. I got right up in front, Brother Trevor. Amen. If you're happy tonight, let's sing it like we mean it. Let's just slow it down just a little bit for this verse. Oh, there we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace. Oh, for he brought us to that land so bright and fair. Look upon his face. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, I know everybody will be happy. Oh, will be happy over there. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. And we will hear nobody praying, no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. And all the people will be singing, glory, glory to the Lamb. Oh, everybody will be happy. Thank God I've got it like the Bible said. Thank God I've got it. Oh, thank God I've got it. Yes, I've got it like the Bible said. Oh, no man could give it. No man could give it. But God would send it like the Bible said. Oh, no man. No man could send it, but God sent it like the Bible said. You can't educate your way into it. Can't educate your way into it. Oh, you can't learn it. That's what the Bible said. You can't learn it. Paul said, no man taught me. Oh, but he got it like the Bible said. Oh, yeah. yes, I've got it. Oh, yes. Oh, if you don't have it, you better get it tonight. I've got it like a vine. You don't have to leave here without it. You can say, I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it like the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, my, what a blessed people we are tonight. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to read just a few verses there, starting at verse 3. If you didn't bring your shouting shoes on tonight, you might ought to just slip out and get them and come back in. Amen. I believe we're going to have church if the pre-service is any sign of it, so... I'd just like to say while you're turning, I've had an opportunity over the week to go back and listen to the majority of the services while we were gone, and just want to say, my, we certainly enjoyed what we heard, and what a blessed people we are to have brothers that will yield to the Spirit like these brothers did while we were gone. My brother Hoover and brother Layton both bringing about the rich young ruler and going right down that line of thought, and the Lord, you could tell, really blessed it with the response from the people. And my, the tape Sunday morning, Brother Hoover did a wonderful job introducing that with a little bit of the history of his dad there, and Brother Trevor reminding us that the scriptures are reliable. We can depend on them. Amen. No matter what man says, no matter what your college professor told you or what some atheist said, we can depend on them. Yes. Amen. They're life to us. Amen. And my, what wonderful services you had while we were gone. We had good services there in Delaware and in Vienna, Virginia as well. And good to be back and just ready for whatever the Lord has for us tonight. Amen. Enjoyed. And for those of you that wasn't here Sunday night for communion, you missed a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I know some were traveling and some were sick, but if you, that wasn't your excuse, then shame on you for missing a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. People were dancing and shouting and screaming and praising, and that was just in the beginning song service. Then we got to hear from a prophet of God tell us about communion, and then we got to take communion and feet washing. So we had a wonderful time in the Lord. Amen. One of the, you know, it's hard to weigh outpourings of the Holy Spirit, but my, it was just an amazing, amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit there Sunday night in the service. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Where are we at tonight? You say, well, we're in New Albany. We're in the United States. You know, you remember Brother Billy Paul telling the story about the May building there and how Brother Bam said, be more specific, you know, and we could get down and be more specific. Well, we're on Silver Street. Well, be more specific. We're in Church of the Open Door. Well, that's good. I'm glad you made it. Amen. But just make it into the Church of the Open Door is not enough. Amen. I know there's some churches that teach if you just believe their letterhead or their doctrine or their creed or whatever it would be, that that's good enough, or if you attend there. But we don't teach that here. We don't believe that coming to our church is enough to get you out of here. If it was, then Jesus Christ died in vain. He could have just came and told everybody, go to Silver Street. But amen, we believe it's more than that. So more than just a building, more than just a church, more than just an address. But tonight, if you've truly entered into the baptism of the Holy Spirit like has been promised by the Scriptures, then we are in heavenly places in Christ. Paul goes on to say, according as he hath chosen us in him, the day you got saved, the day he filled you with the Holy Ghost, the day your mommy and daddy told you about it, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Amen. Before you had any choice in it, before you had any desire, he already chose you and said, that's one of my children. He looked down through time by foreknowledge and saw you. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure, not of Nathan Bryant, not of Bill Layton, not of William Branham, but the good pleasure of his will. He did the choosing. Amen. You say, I chose him. You only chose him because he first chose you. As Brother Arnie reminds us, you only love him because he first loved you. Amen. He did the choosing. We just responded to the choice. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. If you can say, I'm accepted in the beloved tonight, you ought to be the happiest person on the face of the earth. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Amen. I want to speak on a thought tonight. The title may seem a little strange to you, but maybe you'll see in just a moment where we're headed with it. But a thought of, you just don't know where you are. You just don't know where you are. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne together tonight, Lord, feeling your presence already come and fall in our midst. Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to know that you're a present tense God. That, Lord, it was good what we felt on Sunday night. It was good to have you here. It was good to feel your presence. It was good to sit and listen to the words of the prophet and to come and take communion and foot washing. Lord, that was wonderful. But now, Lord, we have another opportunity. We don't want to just look back to what you did for us in the past. But, Lord, we need a present tense God here tonight in our midst. Lord, there's sickness in our midst. There's needs in our midst. Lord, there's those that are grieving loved ones that are look like they may be passing into eternity, or either those that already have, Lord. And Lord, we need comfort. We need peace. We need strength tonight. We know that there's no man that can give those things to us. So we come boldly before your throne tonight because you said whatever things we would ask, if we'd ask in your name, that you'd give them to us, Lord. I ask you to give us strength tonight. Lord, as Buddy Robinson said, give us gumption, Lord, in the gable end of our soul, Lord Jesus. Give us what we have need of tonight. Lord, may we not just sit here and let it be another service. May we not just sit idly by and watch as the service goes on, but Lord, may tonight be someone's night, Lord, for a change in their life. Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. Amen. Brother Layton, as you can tell, he's been hobbling around for the last couple of weeks, and it's because Andrew dropped a fish tank on his ankle. So, so I told him, I said, if you need to prop it up on the pew there tonight, you just prop it up. Brother Furman, when he had his finger cut, you know, he was elevating it all through the service. We just thought he was praising the Lord, but you know, you can praise him with your feet too. So you, I was doing a cast. But yeah, Brother Anthony told me to let him know Sunday night that we were going to lift up his leg in prayer. So I think he was lifting it up at home. But amen. Here we have No Continuing City, 1950. Brother Bram begins to tell this story, and he's talking about how that he calls it his Gethsemane when little Sharon Rose had passed away. And he said it was the darkest hour when that black curtain came down. He'd cried and asked God, and God just brought this black curtain down and didn't allow him to. You know, Brother Bam tells us, and maybe we'll look at it in a few weeks, how Brother Bam talks about how that God always answers. It's not that he doesn't answer prayer, but sometimes he answers yes, and sometimes he answers no, and sometimes he answers wait a while. And if we're truly in tune with the Spirit and truly love God like we should, then regardless of his answer, you know, we love to hear yeses. But, you know, looking back through life, Brother Jimmy, there were some prayers that I've prayed that I look back now and I think, God, had you answered that yes, what a mess I would be in tonight. You know, I don't typically quote Garth Brooks over the pulpit, but when I was a young man, I used to listen to a song he sang called Sometimes I Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. And that's kind of the testimony of my life, at least as a young person, that many times there were things that I prayed for and things that I desired. And I can look back now and thank God that he didn't answer those prayers with a yes. Amen. He had it a little wrong. God did answer them, but he just didn't answer with a yes. And so God, looking down through time, he knew what was best for you. And so when he answers your prayer, he can answer your prayer in a better way many times or all the time than we can pray it. Because we pray and we look at the moment and we look at the desire and we look at the need. But God looks down through eternity. He looks down this way. He looks that way. He looks this way. He looks back over that way. And he knows exactly what is the best answer for you. So if we recognize that and truly love God and understand God like we should, then his no's can be just as great and just as blessed as his yeses. And his wait-a-whiles can be just as wonderful as if he had answered right then. I've got a sermon on my heart for coming up, but maybe in a week or two, and the Lord seems like he's trying to pull me into that, and I'm trying not to go ahead and preach it tonight, but I'll just go ahead and say this. Abraham, God could have gave him the son right then. God could have just spoken, Isaac could have been there. He could have bypassed the 9-month pregnancy. He could have bypassed the 25 years. God could have just created him a son and said, Abraham, there's Isaac, there's the son you prayed for, but God didn't do it that way. Amen. But the 25 years of waiting was just as great to Abraham when he recognized God's reasoning, God's purpose, God's plan. He could look back and say thank you for the child just as much 25 years later, and even during the 25 years of waiting, as if God had given to him right then at that moment. So Brother Branham prays this prayer, and God answers no. And the black sheet, he said, looked like came down there. And she passes into eternity. Well, he begins to tell us a little while later that he had a dream. And he says in 1950, and here we have no continuing city, he said, I went to sleep laying there. I dreamed, I thought I was out west. And when I was out west, I was walking down through the prairie, and I was whistling that song, the wheel on the wagon is broken, the sign on the ranch for sale. Now, some of you that got on me a minute ago in your mind for quoting Garth Brooks, go Google this song when you get home and see if it was in the hymn book, all right? The wheel on the wagon is broken, the sign on the ranch for sale. He said, I was whistling like that, and I seen an old prairie schooner, and a wheel broke down, and standing there by that schooner stood the most beautiful blonde-headed girl with pretty blue eyes shining, dressed in white, and I had my hat on, my hat, and I passed by. I said, howdy do, miss, and I put my hat back like that, and she said, hello, Dad. And I looked around, and I said, Dad? She said, sure. I said, well, young lady, I beg your pardon. I said, you're as old as I am. How could I be your daddy? She said, Daddy, don't you know me? And I said, no, ma'am, I'm afraid I don't. She said, you just don't know where you are, Daddy. You just don't know where you are. Now, we just read a scripture here a few moments ago in the opening of the service where Paul tells the Ephesian church that they were in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But I'm afraid many times when we get out of bed in the morning, when we go to work, when we go to school, when we come to church on Sunday morning, put on our Sunday best and all those wonderful things, I'm afraid many times we don't truly realize where we are. I'm afraid sometimes we let the devil lull us to sleep, that he would try to tell us, well, it's just another service, or well, it's just another day at work, or well, it's just another day at school, or whatever it be. But God gives us opportunities to serve him. You know, God didn't just say, serve me and worship me on Sunday and Wednesday, but God gives us opportunities to worship him, and many times we fail to see it because we've got our mind on something else. Because we've got our desires on something else. Because we have our focus on something else. And if many times we pass opportunities, I'm not preaching just to those in the pews tonight, but I'm preaching to myself as well. Many times we miss opportunities to witness when we could have an opportunity. I was listening to Brother Hoover's sermon, and he was talking about, you know, hear how Brother Branham, you read the quote from Sunday morning in Witnesses there, where Brother Branham was talking about the man that and woman that they'd been in the wreck, and the other man there gasping for his life that he'd went and prayed for, and the little woman down to 90 years old in the funeral home there, how he talked to her, and she'd never taken God into her heart, and he prayed for her, and he said, here's a man, you know, in the 50s, he's been to Jonesboro, he's been to all these places. He's seen miracles. He's seen the dead raised. He's seen signs and wonders. And still his main concern is lost souls. going around and praying for the sick and talking to those that are lost. And I wonder many times if we don't lose our focus and lose the what the scriptures would have for us, and we're so busy in our day-to-day caught up of whatever we're doing that we fail and we miss opportunities because we don't truly realize where we are. Where that we're seated tonight. If you just came to New Albany, Indiana to sit on a pew at Church of the Open Door tonight, then I'm afraid you'll go out of here very disillusioned and very disappointed. But if you can come tonight and recognize, not because that Brother Nathan's the pastor, not because you are better than somebody else, but by the grace of God, we've been called to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then we can go out of here changed tonight from whatever condition we came into the building in. Questions and Answers 1962. You say, why are you preaching so loud tonight, Brother Nathan? Because I'm trying to keep a few of you awake so that you'll hear what I'm trying to deliver to you. All right? Is that okay? Well, glory. Nudge somebody beside you and say, wake up in Jesus' name. Glory. Questions and Answers 1962. Brother Ram said, by his grace, he lifted me up, and here I am now, seated. How was it? Because of his birth through Charles and Ella Branham? Because he was born in a better state than some of us? You know, I know some of you brothers would say amen to that, some of you brothers from Kentucky. Because he was born of a better genealogy than some of us? No, he said, by his grace, he lifted me up, and here I am now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh my, there you are. Then the Bible becomes a new book. Then you're reading it through spiritual eyes and spiritual understanding. Then you see the nouns and pronouns, and then you see the junctions and conjunctions, and so forth in the Bible. Oh, where it says, they say it contradicts itself. You're down here reading. Get up here and read it. It's all different then. You see, that's right. Sure, it means a whole new thing when you read it in the Spirit. Yes. Now, you can come in and you can just say, well, I'm going to read a chapter before service because, you know, Brother Ben taught us to come and read our Bible and pray and all that. And you can just come and do it out of tradition, and it won't do you a bit of good, except you may walk out of here memorizing or remembering a verse that you'd never caught before. But if you can come and do it not out of a tradition, but if you can read those same scriptures, you know, there's something about it. This same King James Scofield Bible that we all have, this same Bible sits on the desks and on the bookshelves of many an atheist, and it doesn't do them a bit of good, Brother Hoover. They may be paid the same physical, financial price for it that we did. Maybe they've read it the same amount of time as we have and studied it the same amount of time, but it doesn't do them any good because they aren't approaching it the same way that we are. Amen. If that's true with the reading of the Word, I believe it goes the same for listening to tapes or attending church or whatever it would be. You can go through the motions and it won't do you a bit of good, except just that you'll get in maybe a good habit of being a good church member or reading your Bible every day. Hey, that's a good habit to have, but God didn't call us to just have a good habit. He called us to something higher. He called us to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, with his presence abiding with us. Not just to get worked up on Sunday and Wednesday and feel pretty good and then drag through the week, the rest of the week. But he called us on Monday and Tuesday and all through the week to live in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. That takes more than a going through of the motions. That takes more than a schedule. You know, anybody with a smartphone or with a calendar can set out a schedule and they can put reminders on their phone. Read your Bible. Listen to a tape. Go read the quote of the day. Go listen to this. Go do that. Go do whatever it is. Go pray for somebody. Go do this. All of us, you know, can get in a good routine, and that's all right and that's good. But I don't just want routine tonight. I want life. Amen. This is not just a set of rules. It's not just a ritualistic something. It's a life that can be lived. Amen. Adoption, part 1, 1960. He said, oh, let's just stop. Let's stop just once more minute here. One more minute, rather. In heavenly places. Now, just not out anywhere, but in heavenly places. We are assembled in heavenly. It means that the position of the believer. You say, what's your position tonight? Maybe you say, well, I'm seated. No,
A little bit more detail. Well, I'm a Bryant, or I'm an Eplin, or I'm a school teacher, or I'm a plumber, or I'm a carpenter, or I'm a handyman, I'm a maintenance guy, I'm a computer programmer, whatever it is. No, a little bit further. Well, oh, you mean as far as the church? Well, I'm a deacon or a trustee or a minister. No, a little bit further. What is your position tonight? If you're really, truly a believer, your position is that we're seated together in heaven. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. That means, he says, let's let him tell us that if I'm prayed up and you're prayed up, or the church is prayed up and we're ready for the message, and we have assembled ourselves together as saints called out, baptized with the Holy Ghost, filled with God's blessings, called, elected, set together in heavenly places now. We are heavenlies in our souls. Our spirit has brought us into a heavenly atmosphere. Now, sometimes at home, it may not feel like a heavenly atmosphere, but God has called us to a heavenly atmosphere. He's called us to live in a heavenly atmosphere. Whether you want to live up there or whether you want to constantly get dragged down, and every time your wife says something to you, you get mad and frustrated and kick the door and kick the cat and kick the can and go out and kick the car. And you know, that's not living in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Or every time you say something to her, she goes in and slams the door and slams the cupboard and slams the pots and slams the pans. That's not living in heavenly places. Amen, but there's something about it. You know, I think sometimes on either side of the fence there, I wonder if us as believers and as spouses, you hear Brother Random tell the story about the little woman that she had the husband that he was always running around with his drunk buddies, and they'd go out there and just have a good time. They got to talking one night on the bar stool there. You know, it's amazing how God, you can't get away from him. Maybe you tried to hide out on the bar stool. Maybe you tried to hide out in the alleys and the gutters and all kinds of terrible places. But God will find you. You can run tonight, but you cannot hide. As we looked at Jonah when I was in Delaware a couple weeks ago and preached for Brother Jeff, and we looked at it here a few months ago, Jonah tried to keep going down further and further and further. He went down from Joppa and down into the ship and down to the side of the ship and down to the whale and down into the bottom of the water. But no matter where he went, God was with him all the time. Amen. So here they are sitting there drunk on the bar stool, and they get to talking about some old hypocrite Christians that they used to know. And they said, oh, there is no such a thing as a Christian, just a bunch of old hypocrites. And one man said, wait just a minute. Here he is drunk as a skunk, probably hardly able to sit on his stool on the bar stool. Now, wait just a minute here, fellas. Said, I know of one that's a real Christian, and that's my wife. Here he is testifying, and he's under the influence, and not under that influence, you know, but under this influence. And here he is, he begins to tell him, he said, just come home with me and I'll show you. And they, I don't know if they drove or got in a taxi or stumbled down the street or what they did, but they get to the man's house, and he goes in, they're all drunk, and they're going to put on now that they're even more drunk than they are, falling all over the place and knocking over tables and chairs. He says, fix us something to eat. And she gets in there and begins to make him some eggs and things and puts it down on the table, and he takes the plate and he slams it down on the floor. Now here she is. She's been patient. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight. Maybe I'm preaching to myself. I don't know. But I wasn't planning on going this path, so I believe I'm preaching to somebody. And so, he said he slams that down on the floor and said, you know, I don't like my eggs like this. Now, she has been patient. She has been long-suffering. She's let him go off and get drunk, and she's gone to church and done her own merry little thing, and she's tried to be as sweet and as loving and as humble, and now he comes in and brings his old, nasty, drunk buddies into her home, and she's still sweet and humble, loving. She doesn't kick him out of the house. She doesn't call him a bunch of sinners and serpent seed, but she humbles herself, and she goes over to the stove, and she cracks the eggs, and maybe she's praying in her heart, oh Lord, why do I have to bear this burden? And she's thinking along those lines. She's grilling up these or frying up these eggs, and she scrambles them or whatever she does and puts them in the plate and sits them down there. And now he takes this plate that she's been sweet and loving and kind and patient, and he slams it in the floor. Glass everywhere, eggs everywhere. And they go out and sit down. They're going to listen at the door and see. Now, I wonder many of us what they would have heard if they went out and listened at the door to see if this was a real Christian. Would they have heard words that were becoming of a Christian? Would they have heard the doors and the cupboards shutting in a way that was becoming of a Christian? Would they hear the plates and the dishes being washed in a way that was become? What would they have heard if it had been you or me? But they hear, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. And the one looks over at the other, elbowed him, said, she's a real Christian. The other one elbowed him, said, she's a real Christian. I want to say tonight, mind over matter cannot produce that. Amen. You can't just go about and say, well, I'm just going to click my heels together and be a Christian today, and I'm going to go out and I'm just going to treat everybody nice. Oh, Brother Layton, so good to see you. Oh, my so-and-so down at Walmart, that, oh, yes, you go to another church, and you've called me all kinds of terrible names, but it's so good to see you. And, oh, Sister so-and-so, that, oh, yes, you cheated our family out of about $3,000, but it's so good to see you, and I'm praying for your soul. You can't put that on. You can't, oh, you can try. You can try to fake it, but people will see right through it. So it's not just a prosperity gospel that, oh, I'm just going to name it and claim it and God's going to bless me and God's going to give me this and everything's just going to be peachy. But there's sometimes that we're faced with things that we don't want to have to deal with. Let's just be honest with ourselves. And sometimes we're faced with people that we don't really want to be around. Sometimes we're faced with situations that really, if it was true, our honest self, if we'd be honest with ourselves and everybody else, we'd just rather run from than sit and have some conversations. But there's something about it when you're called to heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that it can take you through those times and not only just scrape you through scratching and clawing, but you can walk through the other side with victory and say, Lord, that was tough and that was hard, but you brought me through it. Hey, man, that was difficult and I didn't enjoy 1 minute of it, but I think I came out the other side a better Christian than I was when I came into the trial. So I thank you for it, Lord. How are you going to do that? In heavenly places with Christ Jesus. How are you going to be that example? You've got to stay in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's the only way those men heard what they heard on the other side of the door. She was shut in with God. She wasn't shut in with her temper. She wasn't shut in with her stubbornness. She wasn't shut in with her own opinions and with her creeds and with her holier-than-thou list of legalism. She was shut in with God, and everything else that happened to her, oh, it might have hurt her. It might have been a trial. It might have offended her, but there was something about it. She was safe in the cleft of the rock. Amen. Amen. I don't want to give this away tonight. I guess I was going to do this at a young people's service, but I'll just go ahead and share it. Some people had sent me, I think it was Brother Joel and Sister Christy, had sent me a video a while back of a guy, just a nominal guy, giving a little talk to some people. But I thought the principle that he was trying to teach was pretty good. And he had a little pitcher, like an empty pitcher of water. Just a pitcher, though, because it didn't have water. And he had a bunch of ping pong balls. And he said, all these balls represent somebody in their life. This represents your parents, and this represents your friends, and this represents your people at school, and your atheist professor, and your pastor, and the deacons, and somebody that doesn't like you very much, and somebody that thinks you should be doing this a different way, and all these opinions and influences and things in your life, some of them good, some of them bad. And he filled the whole thing up with ping pong balls. And he said, now, he said, we asked Christ to come in, but we're filled up with all these different things. Brother Trevor actually did an example of it with rocks. I think one time he had Brother Anthony draw rocks and a little bucket and said, he talked about empty up, how that you had to empty up all the rocks. He said, but watch this. And he took some water and he began to pour it over the ping pong balls. And as the water began to fill up the container, the ping pong ball just began to bounce this way and that way and this way and everywhere. Why? Because they were getting so filled up with something else that all these other things were just bouncing this way and bouncing that way, some of them going this way on the floor, and some of them going over here, and some of them going in a little container that he had there. And when it got all the way full, he said, now, that doesn't mean that you can't have other people that'll still come and say negative things or try to influence you. And he said, but watch, he took a handful of the ping pong bottles, and he put them on the top, and they just bounced there. And he tried to push them down in, they just bounced right out. And yeah, on the surface, they could still have an effect, but they weren't. There was something about it. They couldn't fill it up because it was already full with something else. And you can fill your life up. You can live your life the way that your parents have told you. And if you was raised in a good godly home, that's wonderful. But as Brother Hoover said, he had done that till he was about 27 and it hadn't done him any good. He was just living by the rules of mommy and daddy said this and the pastor said this. And then we come a little higher and, well, the prophet said this and the message said that. And all those things are wonderful. And it's good rules to live by. And you'd be a better citizen and a better person to do that. But unless the Holy Spirit has come in and made his abode... Then was it Brother Layton said, what good does it do you? What good does it do you? But when he comes in and makes his abode, then all these other things, no matter what somebody says about you, it just bounces right off of you. Oh yeah, it may affect you a little bit on the surface, but it's not going to come down in here and really bother you because you're already so filled up on the inside with Jesus Christ and you're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus that all that other stuff can't even bother you anymore. Filled with God's blessings, he says. Called, elected, set together in heavenly places now. Not in the millennium, not in the rapture, not somewhere off in some future day. In heavenly places now. We are heavenlies in our souls. Our spirits has brought us into a heavenly atmosphere. Oh, brother, there you are, a heavenly atmosphere. Oh, what could happen tonight? What could happen tonight if we would be sitting here in a heavenly atmosphere and the Holy Spirit moving over every heart that's been regenerated and become a new creature in Christ Jesus, all sins under the blood in perfect worship with our hands up to God and our hearts lifted, setting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, worshiping together in heavenly places. Did you ever sit in one, he said? Oh, I sat till I would weep for joy and say, God, never let me leave here. Just heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, there's many times, and some of you can testify to it. Amen. Don't just let me be the only witness tonight. There's many times when we have church here that the best service is not the song service, or the preaching service, or the tape service, I don't want to shock or offend you, or the end worship service as we call it. But many times the best service is what we call the second service, or sometimes the third service. And that's where the song leaders or myself, we've sang, we've worshiped, and we've watched the people, and some of you are about to fall out in the spirit. Some of you are crying and weeping and screaming and shouting and running to the altar and turning around in your pews. And some of you are sitting there chewing your chewing gum, looking around at everybody else, crossing your arms, looking at your watch, looking at the back door, looking at the pulpit, looking back to the back door like you'd just like to run. What did Brother Hoover say the other night? He said there's something about it when conviction comes. He said, and you can tell, because usually right about the time conviction comes real good, a bunch of people get up and go to the restroom. Or they'll get out their phone and start playing with it. Or they'll do something like that. What is it? They know that something's not right, but they're going through the graveyard whistling, trying to tell themselves, well, I was at church tonight, so that's okay. I made it to church, and I did this, and I read my Bible today, and I prayed today, and I'm a good Christian. But they know down on the inside there's something that isn't truly lined up with God's word. They know in the back of their mind that when you go to preach about a rapture and a resurrection and the coming of the Lord and the Holy Spirit being taken from the earth and what the foolish virgins is going to have to go through, their toes begin to clench up in their shoes a little bit, and they don't like you to talk about it because they know if the rapture happened tonight, their life isn't in the condition to go with the rapture. Why would you leave tonight in that condition? When we have every promise in the Word that God has extended and extended and extended mercy and grace, and He gave us a Bible that was infallible. And then we couldn't even keep that straight. And years of dark ages and church ages and man-made creeds and popes and ideas of man-made religion just made it of none effect because of their tradition. So then, in His grace, He sent us a prophet in this age to restore us back to the original truth. And with signs and wonders and vindications and my things that sometimes now, I was showing Brother Hoover some things that I came across when we were out of town, things that we're just now even seeing that what God really truly did in this age through this humble Kentuckian. And we sit many times and stare while lives are being blessed. And we think, my, I didn't feel nothing, Brother Layton. I think we should just have a group prayer tonight for everybody's irritable bowel syndrome, that they just won't have to go out of church five times for the bathroom. Because apparently some of you have a terrible problem. And I can set my watch by some of you and say, this brother's going to get up and go out and walk around for a while. And this one's going to go down to the water fountain. And this one's going to go down to the bathroom. Oh, my. You say, well, Brother Nathan, some people really do have to use the restroom during service. That's all right. I understand that. I realize that. I realize there's people that can't hold it for 2 hours. I'll be praying for you that God will help you with that. You go right ahead. Don't sit there and feel bad because of what I'm saying if that's your condition. But if it's just that you've got a little nervous twitch and a nervous habit that, oh, every 30 minutes you got to get up and move around and get you a drink of water or do something or go down to the basement, walk around or go and, you know, whatever it is. Don't you realize that's the devil trying to rob you of getting a blessing? Trying to rob you of something. Many times we're not careful. We do it subconsciously. We just get in the habit. Oh, don't talk to me about it not being that way. I've sat in churches for years as a young man. Amen. And, you know, I'd watch my clock and, well, it's been about 30 minutes. I'll get up and go to the back and get a glass of water and I'll go to the bathroom and things like that. You know, it wasn't that I had to. It was that I'd gotten the habit of doing it. And maybe God trying to speak something to my soul, but because of just some habit in the back of my mind, Satan robbing me from it. We sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And many times the second and the third service, what we call it that, is when those people that they begin to look around and they're thinking about how early they've got to get up for work and they're thinking about who they're meeting at Burger King and they're thinking about what time Dairy Queen closes and they're thinking about all these things. And we realize, you know, it's better just to go ahead and say, for those that want to go, you can be dismissed. And for the rest of us, we're just going to go right on in and we're going to worship the Lord and let these that's here laying on the altar screaming and crying and on the pews and different things, we're just going to go ahead and keep an atmosphere in here. As Brother Trevor said, I believe it was on the Wednesday night that Brother Hoover was preaching, we're just going to try to keep an atmosphere for these people and we can continue on to worship. And usually about half or two-thirds of the congregation gets up and goes out. And once their little critical spirit or impatient spirit or whatever it is leaves, usually that's when the buckets really pour out from heaven and people begin to get blessed and things. And you think, why didn't we dismiss 15 minutes ago, Brother Trevor? You know, in fact, I'll just go ahead and say it. If anybody needs to go or has somewhere to be, why don't you just go ahead and be dismissed tonight? But the rest of us are going to go on with the service. And I don't just say that sarcastically. I mean that. If there's someplace else you would rather be, then just don't come. Don't come and hinder somebody. Don't come because it's a tradition. Don't come and you think, oh my, I'm such a martyr, Brother Jimmy. My team was playing in the playoffs. Oh, hallelujah. And I made it to church. A real martyr. A real martyr. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, up to next to Polycarp and some of these, John Huss and some of these men that were burned at the stake, they'll look and they'll think, oh, my, in our age, we gave our life, our flesh melted off of our bones. But this man forsook a Broncos game. Oh, woe is us that we could be as him. He survived Laodicea and he went to church and missed a U of L game and an IU game. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's all right. As I've said before, I'm not against sports. It's okay to enjoy sports. It's okay to watch somebody throw a ball down the field or through a hoop or kick it into a net or whatever it is that you like. But when that becomes to be a place where it's more important to you, let me say it again tonight. If it becomes to a place where that's more important to you than sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, your priorities need to be straightened out. Amen. If it comes to a place where you'd rather volunteer for overtime on Sunday because it's a little extra pay than sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, there's something wrong with your priorities. If there's something about it where when you're, oh, let's just, you know, I'm already in trouble tonight. Why don't we just get really in trouble? When it gets to a place where your children are playing sports and it comes time to sign up and you know that they're going to have to be out about half of every Wednesday for that season and you go ahead and sign them up anyhow instead of trying to find a different team or a different schedule, instead of sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. And you, remember Brother Hoover said it. He said, when I say you, he's not singling any person out. He said, from Brother Jerry over here to this pew, all the way to the back of the deacons, when this says you in the scriptures or in the Bible or in the message or when a preacher in the anointing gets up and says you, we're talking to all of us collectively. And in fact, if we'll be sincere and honest, we'll include ourselves in it as well because we need to hear it. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom all also we all have had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy. Amen. Not because I sit under a better pastor than somebody else. Not because I'm smarter than somebody else. Not because the Bryant genes were purer than somebody else. But God, rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. This is past tense. Amen. You know, it's a pressure sometimes, Brother Jimmy. You sit under school teachers and professors, and you know, Brother Lauren, he was a retired English teacher, and you sit under people that are very, you know, big into history buffs that know history better than you, and some brothers that can quote scripture with better than you, and you sit there, and sometimes you build a little inferiority complex. Oh, am I going to say this right? Am I going to do this right? And then I go back and hear the other brothers, and I say, oh, thank God, they say things like that and mess up their grammar and stuff too, so... Amen. I'm not going to live under that. But he says, hath quickened us together. Something that's already taken place. He hath. Not he will quicken us together. He hath quickened us together. With Christ, by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hath raised us up together. You say, oh, I'm waiting for a rapture. Brother Nathan, I'm waiting for a body change. I'm waiting for this. I'm waiting for that. I am too. Don't get me wrong tonight. But for that soul, or for that body rather, to take a change, the soul had to be changed first. Amen. He's already raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The spiritual being, our souls, my flesh is still just as much flesh as it was before I ever got saved, Brother Yarborough. Amen. This flesh never got saved. This flesh never got the Holy Ghost. But something down on the inside of this was yielding to a control tower that just did whatever the flesh wanted to do. But now there's another one that came and made his abode in the control tower. And now he has raised us up and seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. What is it? Oh my, the inside had to change before the outside could change. You say, I never heard Brother Branham say it like that, Brother Nathan. Well, True Easter Seal, 1961, he said, we are resurrected from the inside out, not from the outside in. Amen. Resurrected from the inside out, not from the outside in. Oh, many of us waiting for a body change. You better get the inside change first. God told Noah, he said, you pitch that ark from the inside and the outside. Amen. A lot of us, maybe you got your hair right and your skirt length right and, oh, you don't cuss anymore and you don't do these things anymore. But if you didn't get the inside right, what good did whitewashing the outside do? Amen. Amen. But something about it, he said, we don't change. Our character doesn't change. Our nature doesn't change. But all that death does is changes our dwelling place. So if our character and our nature and our soul was going to change, it better change somewhere before death, because death is just going to be a changing of the body. But that old nature, whatever it was, if it ain't dead, then you'll have that same nature over there. And Brother Bannon said it would never fit in over there. Right. Only perfect love would fit in over there. Right. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in him. When we're in heavenly places, We have boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him. That means when we're in heavenly places and there's a need, just like Brother Branham there, when he was preaching there in 1963 and Brother Way fell and he died right there in the service, Brother Branham didn't have to call the paramedics. He didn't have to panic. He didn't have to go have a prayer meeting. He had faith through boldness and confidence and access to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was already in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Witnesses, 1954. Brother Branham says, Jesus Christ is in the building tonight. Now, you can leave that back in 54, or you can make it present tense tonight. Amen. I think we've done everything we can to prove that he's still a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And we have infallible proofs of the resurrection in our midst. And he says, Jesus Christ is in the building tonight to perform miracles, but he does it through his church, his people. Now, in this age, you've got a big group of people that they want to put everything on Brother Branham. Every scripture you read, whatever it is, they want to try to twist it and make it Brother Branham. Every quote you read, everything that you try to do, they want to twist it and try to make it Brother Branham. Then you've got another group of people that if they're not careful, they'll take and they'll make their pastor and everything. If anything's going to happen, the pastor's going to do it and he's going to help and he's going to do it. He's going to do this and that and the other. What a wonderful guy. That's wonderful. That's great. I appreciate what Brother Branham did in this age. I thank God for a prophet that would humble himself. I thank God for pastors. But you know what? The body is not just made up of pastors and prophets. It's a many-membered body. And the prophet of God told us if God is going to do something, he's going to do it through his church, his people. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name they shall cast out evil spirits. Is that right? The commission's given to the church. That's what's the matter with the church today. It doesn't know its position. If you know positionally who you was and what you are tonight, there wouldn't be a feeble person in here in the next 5 minutes. He said, that's right. Now, you can take that as just the words of a Kentuckian, or you can take that as thus saith the Lord tonight, that if you could recognize who was here tonight, not Nathan Bryant, not David Hoover, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the shout of the King is in the camp. We've seen him, Brother Lee. We've seen him move among the people. We've seen him bless the people. But if he's here and he's truly here, not just a song, but Jesus is here. And if we're in heavenly places with him, then he tells us that if we can really, truly get a revelation of who you are and what you are, then in 5 minutes there wouldn't be a feeble person in our midst. Boo, devil. Boo, devil. Amen. He told you, oh, I've been up to the altar before. I'm not going to get saved. I've tried. Oh, I've wept and prayed and tried to repent. I'm never going to get the Holy Ghost. He's lied to you. Oh, my, I've been anointed with oil and prayed for, but just seems like my faith can't raise up to that place. He's lied to you. Amen. You can take his word or you can take the words of a prophet that there won't be a feeble person in here in the next 5 minutes. He said, the thing of it is, you're looking off into a millennium for something to happen when it's already here. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong and go like some brothers did and say that we're in the millennium because of quotes like this. He's saying the power and the anointing and the positional placing of the believer that many are putting off in a millennium somewhere, Jesus Christ already paid the price to place you in your position. Amen. When it's already here, now we are the sons of God. Not we will be, we are right now. When? This night. Amen. Right now, this minute, we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus now. Oh, if you'd only recognize that. And the supreme authority that Jesus Christ has given to the prophet, to the pastor, to the deacons, to the missionary. He said the supreme authority that Jesus Christ has given to every believer. I've got three little children here tonight. Amen. I don't know that they've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet, but they've asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart. And they're as sincere as they know how they can be. And they believe this message. They believe this Bible. When they're sick or in need, you see little Ruth, sometimes she'll come up and pray for little different ones that's up here praying and seeking God. And she'll come up if she has a need and has prayer. Why? She's not just going through the motions. She believes. So that means to a 5-year-old child or to a 95-year-old person, God has given authority to every believer. You say, I'm just a housewife, Brother Nathan. I'm just a homeschool mom. I'm just a carpenter. I'm just a plumber. I'm just an electrician. If you're a believer, then Jesus Christ gave you authority as a believer. The supreme authority that Jesus Christ has given to every believer, anything you have desire of, need of, only thing you have to do is ask and receive. Ask and receive it. Now, there's other people, they'll tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that. The only thing we have to do is this. The only thing we have to do is that. They'll give you their list of things, whatever their proof things is. You have to hear this preacher. You have to go to this church. You have to go do this. You have to go through these motions. You can't wear this color of clothes. You can't wear this type of watch. You can't drive this type of car. You can't have this type of ring. You can't wear this type of hair. You can't have this type of instrument. They'll give you all these things that you have to do. But he said, the only thing you have to do is ask and receive it. He's not talking about name it and claim it now. He's talking about the positional placing of the believer. Queen of Sheba, 1960. He says, the way I teach divine healing is a work at the cross that has been completed for you. And if you'll just only recognize it, you can receive it. Now, if it's already completed, if I went down here and Brother Hoover, he likes Toyotas. And there's some of you that like Chevys and some of you that like Hondas and whatever your favorite color or flavor or car or brand or whatever it is. But I know that he likes a Toyota. So if I was to go down here and I was going to go down to Green Tree Toyota, and if I had the money to do it, if I had inherited $1 million for somebody and I had a burden on my heart for Brother Hoover, and I walked into the store and I asked him, I said, sir, what is the most expensive vehicle that you have here in your Toyota facility that you sell? And they told me, and I wrote out a check, and I signed my name on it, and I left it on the counter. I said, now there's a man that's going to be coming by probably in a few minutes or as fast as his little vehicle or feet or whatever can carry him, who is going to want to purchase a car. And I've already paid the price for any vehicle in this Toyota dealership that this man wants. Doesn't matter what he picks, I've already paid the price. If he wants a Corolla, it's paid for. If he wants a RAV4, it's paid for. If he wants a 4Runner and be really spiritual, it's paid for. If he wants a Camry, it's paid for. Whatever he wants. Anything, even if it's a used car in the Toyota dealership that's a different brand. I've paid the price already. It's paid. And all he's got to do is come in. I'll call Brother Hoover and say, Brother Hoover, you might want to stop. You just might. I mean, if you're busy today, you don't have to. But you just might want to go by the Toyota dealership. There's something waiting for you when you get there. I can just imagine him and Sister Jeannie driving down the road, smiling together, singing, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. And they go into the dealership, and the man lays out all the keys, and he lays out all the brochures, and he says, walk around the lot, Brother Hoover. Whatever you want, it's yours. Uh-huh. It's paid for. Amen. It's a finished work. Amen. And then we come to church and think, well, I just don't know if I've been good enough this week, and I don't know if I have the faith, and I don't know if this is even the right church that I could even get it in. It's already paid for. Divine healing is a work at the cross that has been completed for you. And if you'll just only recognize it, you can receive it. Again, fellowship with God through reconciliation, 1956, he says, and you talk about an old-fashioned revival breaking out through this city. Here you'd have a real revival if you'd only recognize that for everything you have need of tonight, it's all finished at Calvary. Amen. Salvation's finished. Reconciliation was finished. Divine healing was finished. Everything that you have need of in earth's journey was finished at Calvary. Amen. Have you got the faith tonight to walk up there to the face of Calvary and say, Father, I now ask in Jesus' name for my soul or for whatever it is, and recognize that God has promised that he'd give whatever he promised. Ask the Father anything in my name, I'll do it.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Amen. Now we are the sons of God. Not waiting for the manifestations. Not waiting for divine healing. Not waiting for something way off in the future. Now. Now you're possessors. Now you're positionally placed. Then what condition should it put us in? Brother Bram says in Go Wake Jesus, 1963, "There should nothing bother us, nothing worry us." Now, I'll just be the first one to go ahead and raise my hand, but how many of you will be honest and say this week something has, it's just Wednesday. We're only 3 days in, folks. It's just Wednesday. How many of you have had something bother you or worry you? Well, thank some of you for being honest. Something bother you or worry you? He said, but there should be nothing bother us or nothing worry us. We're his. If it ain't, well, we're false accusers. We've been testifying of something that's not even so. I believe it. I believe that now we are the sons of God. Not we will be now, right now. And now we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You say, Brother Nathan, how is it? How could he tell us that? How could he tell us we shouldn't worry about nothing and nothing should bother? Because we fail to recognize many times where we're at. You thought you just came to church tonight. You think you're just going home to your address tonight or wherever it is to visit a friend or out to eat or something. But no, we're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And when you can recognize that, when you can recognize, hey, you know, those men there, when they were going across the lake to Gennesaret there or the sea, and the storm came up and they began to panic, and a man that had fed 5,000 and was tired and weary, and he had healed a woman that was sick, and here he is asleep in the back of the boat, and they said, "Master, wake, we perish." And he stood on the side of the boat, and he said, "Peace, be still." Right. They recognized, why should we worry? Why should we get upset? Why should we fear? Why should we let things bother us when we have the master of the wind in the boat with us? The master of the storm. You say, "I'm in trouble." I serve one that speaks to trouble. You say, "I'm going through the fire, Brother Nathan." I'm one that came in the midst of the fire and delivered some out of it. I serve one that went into the lion's den and brought a man out. I serve one that they threw a dead body in on the bones of Elisha one time and he came out alive. I serve one that he's a dissolver of doubts. Amen. He's a healer. He's the God that healeth all thy diseases. Amen. The doctor may have said it's incurable, but there's nothing incurable to him. He's a restorer of families. He's a restorer of friendships. He's a deliverer of temptations. He's a deliverer of addictions. Amen. He's a peace giver that can give you peace when it seems like there can be no peace. Why should we worry?
Hallelujah.
Why should we fear? Why should we be troubled over these things when he's right with us? And the very one that when we're in the midst of trouble, he can evaporate trouble. Amen. When we're in a trial, he can dissolve a trial. Amen. The great warrior David, 1955. Oh, how the Holy Spirit likes to get into a bunch of people like this now. If you could only realize where you're at. Only realize, not say in this building, you're in Christ. Positionally, everything's yours, all yours. It belongs to you. Do you believe now? Again, the great warrior David, 1955, he says, "You believe? Let's receive the Lord Jesus right now." Where are you at? He's asking us again, where are we at? Where are we located? Are we in Jeffersonville or New Albany or Clarksville? Or are we at a church? Or are we at a job or wherever it is? No, that's not what he's saying. Where are you at? Spiritually, what's your address? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are you at? Elected, called,
anointed, placed in Christ, setting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said, do you now believe? Rise up to your feet then and receive your healing, every one of you.
Amen.
Amen. If you're sick tonight and you'd like healing, why don't you stand on your feet? If you came in, you've got troubles in your life, or troubles in your body, or troubles with your finances, or troubles with your family, or troubles with your spiritual life, or troubles with your soul, or troubles at work, or troubles at school, whatever kind of trouble you got tonight, why don't you stand up and accept tonight that we're not just in the presence of a man or of men. Amen. Some of you came in looking like you got called to jury duty, but we're called to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. We didn't come just to gather together tonight, just an assembly. We didn't come together just so we could look around and say, oh, good, Brother Jimmy made it. This one made it, or that one made it. Or we didn't come to see what new clothes Sister So-and-so had, or what kind of vehicle Brother So-and-so had bought. We come together to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus so that he can do something in your life, so that he can change you, so that his grace can come and heal you and fill you and deliver you. And when you feel maybe you've been healed, maybe you've been saved, maybe you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but maybe you've just been drug across the coals so much the last few weeks or months or years that you just feel like your spiritual thermometer is about 30 below zero and seems like you can't hear God speak to you anymore. Seems like your prayer life just falls dead and you pray and cry and ask God and just seems like he doesn't answer back. Well, don't fail to recognize where we are tonight. We're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The devil's tried to rob you of that. He's tried to convince you you'll never make it. Maybe you fell. Maybe you made a mistake. He'll try to tell you, you can't get back up from that. You'll never make it. Oh, Brother So-and-so will never have confidence in you. Sister So-and-so will never have confidence in you. Oh, why don't you just raise up one time and let Jesus Christ sit you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then everything begins to look different. You can look at your neighbor and you look at him different than you did before. You can look at your trial and it looks different than it did before. You can look at your own human weakness and frailty and you recognize, you know what? I'm incapable in my own. I can't do it on my own, but God didn't ask me to do it on my own. He comes and he dwells in the heart of the believer. And when you can't go on, he picks you up and he carries you. When you don't have the strength, he is our strength. When it seems like everything has gone wrong and you can't find peace in your life anywhere, he is your peace. Oh my, let's just talk to him tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, you see those that are standing. Lord, may they not have just stood because the pastor said to, but may they have stood by faith after hearing the word tonight. Lord, not because Brother Nathan was here, not just because a quote or a scripture was read, or not just because a song was sang, but because we recognize tonight, Lord, that we're in the presence of the living God. Oh, Lord Jesus, that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that now, not 100 years in the future, not in a millennium somewhere, but now we are the sons and daughters of God. Now he's trying to positionally place us. Now he's trying to endue us with power from on high, with authority that every believer should have, that they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Oh, Lord, we don't have power tonight. As I read the scripture tonight, Lord, or as I read it in my studies today in the Psalms, David said that power belongeth unto God. We don't have power, but Lord, you gave us authority. You gave us your word, Lord, and if we would speak the word, Lord, you honor your word. You back up your word. Lord, for every sinner in the building tonight, Lord, maybe they haven't yielded and give their heart to you. Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night they recognize where they're at. That tonight they recognize they're not just in a building with four walls, but Lord, they're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That you're calling them to something higher. Lord, may they receive you tonight. Lord, for those that haven't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, maybe they've been ashamed to come to an altar. Maybe they've been ashamed, and maybe they've been hesitant, and maybe they don't want to give up the things of the world that they realize they need to lay down for you to come and enter in. But tonight, Lord, may tonight be the night that they get so desperate and they recognize there's no peace outside of you. May tonight be the night that you come and fill lives. May tonight be the night that you come and heal the sick, Lord. Maybe there's some that they've been through prayer line after prayer line. They've been anointed by men of God. They've been prayed over. But Lord, may tonight be the night that they recognize what they have need of is a finished work at Calvary. May they recognize who they are and what they are and where they're seated at tonight. Lord, may the Holy Spirit quicken that word to them. And as the prophet said, in 5 minutes, may there not be a feeble one among us. Lord, if we could just recognize it tonight in the wandering in the wilderness 40 years under the blood of bulls and goats, it was insufficient, but yet there wasn't a feeble one in their midst, Lord. You could do that under an atonement back there under the blood of bulls and goats. What can you do tonight under your own shed blood, Father? May we accept it. May we accept healing. May we accept restoration, Lord. May we accept deliverance. Lord, maybe there's some tonight, they've got habits in their life that they've tried, Lord, to give them up. They've tried and they've went through the motions and they've pled and they've cried, Lord. But tonight, may tonight be the night that they're delivered, Lord. May tonight be the night that they recognize that your grace is sufficient for deliverance. That your grace is sufficient for victory. That your love is more powerful than the things that bind them and hold them back. Maybe there's some that recognize tonight that, Lord, the things that they focus on, Lord, that they hinder their time with you and they hinder the prayer life with their family and the family altar's just been set aside for other activities. But, Lord, may tonight be the night that they get back to a family altar. May tonight be the night that they clean out their homes and their closets and their TV drawers and their, oh Lord, their book drawers and their DVD drawers of anything that would be unclean and unpleasing to you, Lord Jesus. May tonight be the night, Lord Jesus, that they reach up and take a hold of your hand and you lift them up to something higher than the condition they've been living in. May it not just be a going to church and a reading of a book or a studying of the scriptures, but may it be life to them, Father. Lord, may we recognize tonight where we're standing. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. We need you tonight. Lord, it needs to be more than the words of a pastor. It needs to be more than letters on a page, Lord. We need to recognize it's you, Father. It's your word to us. It's your life to us. It's you trying to breathe the breath of life. Lord, may we raise up a little higher in you tonight. We ask it, Father. Lord, change lives tonight. May they drive down stakes tonight and go out of here different than they was when they came in. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, Father, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, not because of my name, not because of my ability, but because your word said so. Because your word gave authority. Lord, tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind every enemy of sickness. I bind every enemy of doubt and unbelief. I bind every enemy of temptation. And Lord, I bind every demon of Lord, of addictions. Lord, I bind demons of addiction of nicotine and alcohol and pornography. And I bind demons of lust spirits. I bind demons of temptations of getting out and doing things that these young people know is unpleasing to you. But yet Satan whispers in their ear and tempts them to, oh, have a little good time. And Lord, there are many times if we're not careful, we get to be like those women that Brother Branham ran into in the hotel saying, oh, whoopee, this is life. But oh, help us, Father, to recognize, to run from those things. That it's not life, but it's death. Oh, help us, Lord. I bind every spirit, Lord, of stubbornness and temper. I bind every spirit, Lord Jesus, of, Lord, of a critical spirit that would like to pick apart the service or pick apart the preachers or pick apart the musicians or the song leaders and send individuals out of here without receiving anything from you. Lord, I bind those spirits tonight. Spirits of sickness and diseases, of cancer, of diabetes, whatever it would be, Lord, I claim their healing tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we bind these enemies of sickness. We bind these enemies that have weighed down your people and tried to sap their victory by little old besetting sins that have crept in and hindered them from moving forward in the Holy Spirit. Lord, we recognize tonight it's not playing around time. Lord, it's getting ready to go home time. Help us, Lord. Lord, spirits of disobedience that you've tried and you've cried and you've whispered and you've pulled and you've pled through your word and through, Lord, speaking to hearts and through the ministry and through the prophet, Lord. And yet a little spirit of disobedience creeps in and tells the people, oh, you don't really yield to God like you want to. You'd make a fool of yourself if you did that. Oh, it's okay to cut your hair. It's okay to wear your skirts a little shorter. It's okay to wear your blouse a little tighter. You brothers, it's okay to do a little bit of this and look at a little bit of that and participate in a little bit of this over here. God help them. Deliver them of that spirit of disobedience, Father, I pray. Oh, be with each one tonight, Lord Jesus. I claim deliverance. I claim victory. Not by my power, not by my might, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. By the authority of the word, we bind these enemies. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. You can sit, you can stand, you can kneel, you can lay, you can do whatever you feel like tonight. But why don't we rededicate our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ? His presence is here. The altar's not full yet. You can come if you want. Don't be ashamed of him. He said, if you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Don't let a little bit of shame of your pride or, oh, if I go, somebody will think I'm going for this or going for that. Don't let that hinder you. Nobody knows but you and the Lord what you're coming for. Let tonight be the night. Don't let Satan keep you and hinder you and lie to you anymore. I preached it with all the sincerity and the yielding to the gift that's in my life that I know how. I've showed you the quotes. I've showed you the scriptures. You don't have to go out of here defeated. You don't have to go out of here sick. You don't have to go out of here empty. You don't have to go out of here lost. Jesus Christ is here tonight. Let's sing it to him tonight. I give myself away. Oh, why don't you give yourself away to him tonight? Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Give away your pride. Give away your stubbornness. Give away all of it. Just yield to him tonight. If you could only yield and let him use you. Oh, I give myself away. Lord, all my dreams. that's the least you can do tonight. It's the least you can do is to give yourself away. Oh, I give myself away. Are you going to let Satan rob you and just let it be another Wednesday night service? Or will you give yourself away? Oh, yield to Him tonight. Yield to the gift in your life. Yield to the call of God in your life. Can you use me? Oh.
Can use me. I give myself away.
just draw me closer, Lord, to you. Just let the world around me, let it fade away. Dear Jesus,
sing this together tonight. Oh, it's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. We praise His name. The battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already done. Oh, let's sing it together again. Oh, I know it's already done.
Your name, this battle, it's over. The victory is won. It's already done. And I'm already. Thank you, Jesus. I'm already healed. Lord, I praise your name. This battle, it's over. The victory is won. It's already done. My family is sealed.
That are running from the Lord, but we're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus tonight. Why don't you claim Him while you got Him on your heart tonight? Oh, my family is sealed. Lord, all my family is sealed. I praise your name.
Can you believe it tonight? Oh, I'm already healed. It's the finished work at Calvary. He already paid the price, so I'm already healed. And I praise His name. Oh, that battle, whether it's cancer, oh, whatever it is, whatever Satan's trying to place on you, back trouble, diabetes, whatever it is, you're already healed tonight. Oh, yes, Lord, we're already healed. Oh, because You paid the price, Lord, we're already healed. So we praise Your name. Oh, this battle is over. Victory is won. Oh, it's already done.
Oh, and we'll give the glory to Jesus. Oh, and we'll tell of His love. Oh, I want to tell. Oh, what a great love. Oh, yes, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. Sing it again to Him tonight.
Suffered and died on Calvary for us. He's worthy of 5 more minutes of worship, isn't He? Oh, Papa God. Oh, we love You, Jesus. We worship You, Lord, from my whole life. You forgave me. Oh, You have cleansed us. You made me whole. Lord, You touched my heart. Oh, You changed my soul, and now I know I need You so. Papa.
Amen. Let's sing this together tonight.
My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sails, but I have a friend who's watching over me.
when the breeze turns into like an eagle to the heights, among the peaks our soul can be found. Then some old unexpected storm, it may drive us from the heights. Well, it may bring us low, but it won't bring us down. Oh, 'cause I know the master of the wind. I'm so thankful tonight. I know the maker of the rain. Oh, yes, Lord, I know you can calm my storm, make the sun shine again.
Why don't you get out your handkerchief or a songbook or your Bible? Give him a wave offering tonight.
I know the master of the wind.
We're so blessed tonight.
We know the maker of the rain.
Oh, and I know he can calm your storm.
Make the sun.
Oh, make it personal tonight. He'll calm your storm. Let's sing it this way one more time.
Oh, sometimes we soar like an eagle to the heights. All among the peaks our souls can be found.
Then some old unexpected storm, well, it may drive you from the heights. Well, it can bring you low, but it'll never bring us down. Oh, worship him tonight.
I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain.
Oh, and
he can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know.
Oh, it sounds beautiful tonight. Why don't we sing it to him again that way?
I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain.
Oh, and
he can calm the storm, make the sun shine again.
Amen. Why don't we bow our heads tonight? Why don't you lay your hand over somebody sitting near you there? Some of the musicians, I know they can't maybe lay their hand on somebody, but why don't you, some of you that's sitting in the congregation that don't have your hand on somebody, why don't you just reach your hand their way tonight to the musicians? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful tonight that we serve a God that still changes lives. that still calms storms. Lord Jesus, we felt your presence here tonight. Lord, we believe with all our hearts that we'll go out of here tonight different than we came in. Closer to God. Lord, in better health and better spirits. We'll go out and we'll start our day off tomorrow happier than we've been. Lord, more determined than we've been. More victorious than we've been. More ready to witness to lost souls than we've been, Lord Jesus. Oh, just help us, Lord. We need your help in this dark and evil age where Satan is going about like a roaring lion. But Father, may you raise up a standard against him. Lord, may you use your body of believers, not only in this town or in this state, but all over the world, Lord Jesus. May you use your bride, Lord, to bring in those lost souls, to be an encouragement to those that are discouraged, to show the way of peace to those that have no peace in their life, to pray for the sick, to pray for the lost souls, Lord, to be a light, to be an encouragement. Lord, use me, Father. Use me to help somebody. Use these seated here and standing here tonight, Lord. May you use them, Father, I pray. Lord, may we recognize, Lord, not only when we come in these walls to the church, although we certainly believe it at that time, but all through the day and all through the week and at our home and at our school and at our jobs, that abiding presence of Jesus Christ can be with us. And whether we're seated in McDonald's, whether we're seated at our school desk, whether we're seated at our job, we can be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. May we take that abiding presence with us as we go tonight, Father. Be with each one. Grant deliverance and testimonies to come forth from this service, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You love him tonight? Amen. He's been good to us, hasn't he? Amen. Pray for me. Have this drainage and congestion and stuff I've been battling, but boo devil, I thought it was going to affect the service tonight, but it didn't seem to bother it, did it, Sister Stephanie? until just about now it starts, you know, but amen. And then also Brother Matt and Sister Melissa have asked that, I think they're just having a kind of a private family graveside memorial there, but they've asked that I would speak a few words at that, so please just remember me in prayer. There's no words that we can say as mortals at a time like that to really comfort, but we serve a God that can comfort in times like that. And so, amen, just pray that his peace will go with me and I'll be able to be a blessing and an encouragement to them at this time. Amen. Sometimes we go through things and you think you're going through something, you look around and see somebody that's going through something like that, you think, my trials are real little bitty. Amen. So just be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for each other. Don't let the enemy get in and divide you and get you upset at one another. Expose him for what he is. Amen. He's a liar. Amen. Love one another. John, Brother Bram said, John, when he got old, he'd just sit there and say, love one another, little children. Love one another. Amen. I'd say they could say amen and go home and say they had church. Amen. So love one another, little children. God bless you. Amen. You say, you mean you called me a little children? Jesus said, unless we become as a little child, we'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. So I don't know about you. I want to stay little. I want to stay humble. I don't want to see if I can be the biggest or the baddest or the best or whatever. Lord, just keep me humble. Keep me small. Keep me sincere. Keep me with that childlike faith. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing that again as we go. I know the master of the wind. You can be dismissed tonight. Greet somebody in the love of the Lord Jesus as you go. Smile at them if you can. Tell them it's good to see them.